Reading to you from the first chapter of Isaiah and with the second verse. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. Good evening, my dearest friends. Again, it's Evangelist Cecil Moen. As you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. And I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. I'm telling you, friends, this past 55 years have passed real fast. I truly have enjoyed what I have been doing for all these years. I love evangelism. I love preaching in prisons. That's my first love. And the reason I guess God sent me to prison is because he knew I'd been on the bottom. And I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, if you're on the bottom, I want you to look up. Because you can find peace with God, and you can know that your sins are forgiven, and you can know you're going to heaven when you die. So why don't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, friends, we have labeled this message The Cost of a Christ-Centered Life. And I read from the 2 Samuel, the 24th verse, 24th chapter and the 24th verse. But the king replied to Ranaha, "No, I insist on paying for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." Well, let's get the setting of this text. David's sin and the prophet's instructions, we look in verse 11 and 13. Before David got up the next morning, the word of the Lord came to Gad, the prophet, David's seer. "Go and tell David, this is what the Lord says. I am giving you three options. Choose one of them for me to carry out against you." So Gad went to David and said to him, "Shall there come upon you 3 years of famine in your land, or 3 months of fleeing from your enemies while they pursue you, or 3 days of plague in your land? Now then, think it over and decide how I should answer the one who sent me." Well, David's offer to buy Ranah's threshing fool, but I'll tell you, in verse 21, it says, Ranah said, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant?" Well, Ranah wanted to give David the floor and the oxen. But in verse 22 it says, "To buy your threshing floor," David answered, "so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped." Ranah said to David, "Let my lord the king take whatever pleases him and offer it up. Here are oxen for the burnt offering, and here are threshing sledges and foxes and ox yokes for the wood. O king Ranah, give all this to the king." Ranah also said to him, "May the Lord your God accept you." Well, Ranah wanted to give David the floor and oxen, but David insisted on paying for it. But the king replied to Ranah, "No, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." Well, he refuses. He refuses to offer God something that cost him nothing. There's always a cost to full surrender, and consider the cost of a Christ-centered life. Listen, a Christ-centered life will cost your favorite sins, the sins that so easily beset us. I read in Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Well, it says a sin that easily besets us. Let me ask you, what sins do you knowingly tolerate? And we've all guilty of it. Don't say you haven't, because the Bible said we have all sinned and come short of God. That's Romans 3:23. Well, what sins keep you in bondage? And what grieves your Lord? And I read in Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Of what would you be ashamed if Jesus returned? Let me tell you what. If you and your family were in your home today or tomorrow, and Jesus knocked on the door and came in, what would you do? Would you have to take some books out of your house that wasn't there? Is there some pornography in your home? Oh, friends, and what books do we read, and what do we have on our counter, or on the where we keep our Bibles and stuff? Of what would you be ashamed if Jesus returned today? What do you keep secret from others? And you say, I don't have any secrets. Oh, I suppose you do. Maybe you don't. What makes others wonder if you are genuine? And don't you think, friends, that we're not being watched every day? If you're born again Christian, everybody's watching you. Wherever you go, if they know you know the Lord, they're going to watch you. And everything that you do, they're going to mock you. Oh, friends, I remember one time, this is the truth. One of the members of our church, I was just a member, I wasn't a pastor, said, Cecil, I saw you smoking a cigarette the other day. No, I wasn't. What I had a pencil in my mouth when I walked out of the store. I don't know why I did, but anyway. Well, you know, one time, to show you how convicted I was of my cigarette smoking, I remember being in a department store, it was a big old store, and I was walking through it, and that's when you could smoke in buildings, and I was smoking this cigarette, and I saw this deacon of our church. Guess what I did? I ground that cigarette out in the palm of my hand. That's how convicted I was. Oh, friends, listen. You say, Cecil, I've heard you mention that several times about smoking. Is it so wrong? Oh, absolutely, it's wrong. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, and we're not to do anything that would harm God's Holy Spirit. Look how much money you spend. Hey, I've been on oxygen for several years, and I quit smoking 55 years ago. Yes, sirree. Well, full surrender demands dealing with favorite sins, and the Christ-centered life will cost the favor of the world. It says in 1 John 2:15, 16, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the craving of sinful ways, and the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Love not the world. That's pretty hard to do, beloved. I'm going to go with you. It's hard to do. The world loves darkness in John 3:19. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Well, we are to let our light shine, and I read in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Well, this will bring rejection by the world. Now listen to me. the world rejected Christ and his followers. J.C. Ryle, one of the great students of the Bible, on the surrendered life, on the surrendered Christian, he must be content to be ill thought of by men if he pleases God. Now, that's pretty hard to take, isn't it? But it's true. It's very true. The Christ-centered life will cost financially. See, David brought the threshing floor and oxen. Now he was ready to make his sacrifice. His cost was 50 shekels or of silver. Now, verse 24, But the king replied to Araunah, "No, I insist on paying for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." Well, friends, serving Christ does cost financially. Now, how many times have you heard me tell you that a selfish Christian is not a very good Christian? The Bible said that God came and he gave his son to the world. And the thing is, it costs something to serve the Lord. Sir, it will cost you financially. How boldly the Bible speaks of money. From the king's purchase to the widow's mite. We know little of financial sacrifice to Christ. What would you give if Christ was really Lord of your life? Think about it, friends. Think about it. What would you give? You know, I've told you this before and I'll tell you again. For years and years, after I was called to preach, I always had to work. I never could get a job where I was paid by the church. And one time, when I was going to Bible college, see, I used to have to work roofing all day, and then I'd go to school at night. And I remember when I had a lung tumor and I was laid up for 3 months, it gave me up to die. But God healed me. To him be the glory and praise. And the church that I attended gave me $5 a week to sweep out the church. And we had a big old church. And I used to go out there and sweep that church and vacuum it for $5. But friends, that $5 helped feed my babies. It sure did help feed me and my wife. And through that time, many times God spoke to my heart while I was sweeping that church. So it was a good time. You know, sometimes it's good to be poor. Oh, let me tell you why I know that. Told you this story before where we didn't have nothing in the house to eat but about 2 pounds of white navy beans. And I had a family, 5 children, and a wife. And I was associate pastor of a church, but they could never pay me. They paid the pastor, which was right, but they said, "We'll pay you when we get some money," but they never did get any money. Anyway, this night I decided I would cook these white beans, and that would be all we were going to have from who knows when. I found an old wilted potato and an old wilted carrot and an onion, and I put it in this beans and put it on low at night and went to bed. About 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and I smelled those beans, and I thought, "Lord, I never did. In the Navy, we ate a lot of beans. But I'm thankful for them tonight. I really am that we'll have them tomorrow for dinner." The next morning, there was a knock at my door, and a man who I'd never seen before stood before me and said, "Are you Reverend Cecil Moe?" I said, "Well, I'm Cecil Moe." He said, "Well, the Lord told me to bring this to you." And in that sack, Safeway sack, was 2 loaves of bread sticking out. I thanked him, took it in the house, and took the 2 loaves of bread out there, and under there was a ham and a $20 bill stuck on it. Boy, oh boy, was that ham good with those beans. But see, God supplied our needs because he knew I wouldn't let my family starve under no condition. I'm afraid I would have probably might even have stole before I'd let my family starve to death. The Bible said if we don't supply the needs of our own, that we're worse than an infidel. Well, it does. Financially sacrifice, it costs us to serve the Lord. Well, Christ-centered life will cost a first place in your heart. Listen, the difference between salvation and surrender. I find that salvation is free, and I read in Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, salvation, my friend, is a free gift. The morning I was saved, I couldn't have rubbed two nickels together. I was flat broke. I'd been drinking for days. I was flat broke. And it says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So you get paid for the wages of sin. But the gift, again, of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, salvation is by faith alone. Now listen, friends. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You have to, by faith, it's a gift of God. He will give you salvation. So you say, well, Cecil, I'm broke flat. I have lost my house. I lost my job. We are penniless. And I'm lost. What do I do? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You first of all confess to the Lord you're a sinner, because the Bible said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then you need to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, He is the one that came into the world to die for our sins. Our sins had to be paid for. Now, I've heard people say, well, those Jews took Jesus' life. They sure didn't take His life. He surrendered His life. He gave His life as a ransom for you and for me, for our sins. He was sinless. Then why would He have to die? Because that's what Jesus came in the world to do. And tonight, He came to seek and to save that which is lost. So if you're listening to the broadcast tonight and you're lost, the Lord is seeking you. He's trying to tell you, son, daughter, I love you. I died for you. Won't you come unto me? And you know, I love this scripture. I stand with outstretched arms. Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden. Oh, friends, God knows you got a broken heart tonight. God knows that you lost a child this last week. Or He knows you lost a wife or a husband. And He knows how you hurt. And He wants to comfort your heart tonight. And He will if you'll come to Him as a little child. He certainly will. Salvation, again, is by faith alone. Discipleship is costly. It certainly is. And we read in John 3:14-16, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. That's all you have to do is look up. Repent. Turn your back on the old way of life. And hear what it says in Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody is going to come to the Father except by Jesus Christ. Now, seek first the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says. And not as I will, but as you wilt. Now, I want to ask you, have you been offering Christ that which cost you nothing? Now, I want you to consider the cross. And I want tonight for you to choose the Christ-centered life. Friends, one of my most powerful things is when I tell alcoholics and people of all walks of life how I met Jesus. Now, friends, the morning that I was saved, and I'd been drinking for weeks. I'd lost our home. I'd lost our everything we had. I lost our business. And I was crying like a baby, because I knew I was raised in the Christian home. I knew about Jesus. Now, I knew about Him, but I didn't know Him. You see, a lot of people think if you go to church, if you get baptized, or you belong to a church, or you go to Sunday school, or a couple of service on Sunday, and you pray and you read your Bible. That's all you got to do, my friends. Those are good. Oh, they're good things to do. But they will not get you into heaven. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot, he will not see the kingdom of heaven." The Bible says a drunkard, an unbeliever, homosexuals, lesbians, thieves and liars will not see heaven. And now we go to prison. The other last 2 weeks ago, we were in prison with the ladies, and there was two sets of lesbians in there. I wanted to say something. I didn't, because we have to be careful what we say in prison. They try to control what we say. But it was pathetic. Here was these lesbians with their arms around each other, hugging on each other. The Bible said they're not going to go to heaven. Now, I told them just exactly what I told you, that you must be born again to get to heaven. But they didn't listen. Now, they hardened their heart because they were told by the devil that that's not true. You just join a church and it's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything else. Or you got to be baptized. Now, let me give an example. Here was two men on the cross beside Jesus. One said to the Lord, "Hey, if you're the Son of God, you saved others, you come down off the cross and save yourself." The other man said, "Man, we're here because we deserve to be." Otherwise, they were thieves and they were being crucified. And then he turned to Jesus and he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom." And Jesus said, "From this day forth, thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, listen to me. The thief never heard a sermon, never heard another sermon, never joined a church, was never baptized, never took the Lord's Supper, but he went to heaven. Why? Because Jesus said, "From this day forth." When Jesus says something and the Bible tells you something, you got to believe it. It's the only book of unerring truth. This book is solid. You say, "Oh, Cecil, I've read things in there that I don't understand, don't believe." Well, I don't care whether you believe or not. They're true. And you're going to stand before God and give an account for your life, just like I am. But let me ask you this. Would you like to know that you're going to heaven? Would you like to have peace in your heart with God? And would you like to have a mansion in glory someday? You can have it, according to my Bible. But you must be sorry for your sins, and you must confess that you're a sinner, and you must ask Him to forgive you. Are you willing to do that? Do you feel a tugging at your heart tonight that's just almost breaking out of your skin? He said when He saves us, He'll take away the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh so we can believe. Well, if you have a tugging at your heart and you want to trust Jesus, bow your head to me right now and pray this powerful prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm so sorry for my sins. Right now, Lord, I'm opening my heart and I'm receiving Your wonderful Son, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to call 303-471-8534. No, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and ask you for your money. Don't care where you go to church. But I am concerned where you spend eternity. If you can't understand, you'd like to talk to me, you call me collect, and I'll be glad to talk to you. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. For the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, precious friends, for listening. I want you to continue to pray for my wife and I as we go to prisons. Also pray for our health and pray that we'll be able to come to the Dalles. That's where I was born and raised, where I went through high school and grade school. And pray that we'll be able to go there, and I'd like to speak in a couple of churches. It would be so nice, because I don't get to preach in churches anymore, for haven't been for a long time, just radio and TV. But I'd love to do it, and I've got loved ones and friends, dear friends on the West Coast that I'd love to see. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.